Our gospel reading is from the Gospel according to John, the second chapter. It's found on page 87 in your pew Bible. This story is happening at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. Here are the good news. On the third day, and that is the third day after Jesus' baptism, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rite of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So often we only see what we expect to see. Some drivers experienced that this week. The snow had melted from the road, the asphalt was visible, and they saw a clear street, only to suddenly encounter black ice. On a more technical level, I have heard that if you are reading a book or a newspaper, and you come to a word where the first letter and the last letter are in the right places, it doesn't matter what order the other letters are in, you will automatically read the word correctly. Now, this is not true with someone who is just learning English. It's not true if you are proofreading a manuscript, and I discovered when I tried it out on my husband, it is not true if you are genetically programmed to see spelling errors. But for us average people, in casual reading, the brain does not process each letter. All we need are the correct ingredients, so to speak, and we will come to the logical conclusion. Our brains lead us to see and to do what we expect, what is logical, what is within the realm of what we consider normal. Today's gospel story discloses how radically different it is to read the world through the eyes of the kingdom of God. The story of Jesus turning water into wine reveals the contrast between those who see with eyes of faith and those who operate with the expectation of business as usual. Only people who are open to the possibility of something new will be able to discern the presence of God. The steward at the wedding banquet was reading the situation through worldly eyes. Now, from the steward's perspective, what Jesus does in Cana is an answer to prayer, though not usually the kind of prayer we hear in church. This guy is in charge of a big wedding reception. The guests are having a wonderful time. It is obviously a huge success. But then one of the waiters comes up and whispers in the steward's ear, "Sir, we're out of wine." "But we can't be," he says. "I told the bridegroom to buy plenty." "Well, all I know is that that lady, I think her name is Mary, she only got half a glass, and now she's over there complaining to her son." And we know what happened next. Jesus first dismissed his mother's remarks, and then, in what could be considered extreme overkill, conjured up about 150 or so gallons of wine, so there would be no danger of running out again. Now, you and I have been schooled to call this a miracle. But the wine steward didn't see it that way. He chalked the whole episode up to a social faux pas on the part of the bridegroom. "The custom, sir, is to serve the Domperion first and then go to the gala when all the guests are smashed. But you saved the good wine till now." Not a miracle, just a mistake by an inept host. Now, notice that the author of the gospel does not call this a miracle either. John's gospel does not use the word miracle very often. Instead, this is called a sign. A sign. An act that points not to itself, but away from itself to something more important. To see a sign, you have to be aware, alert, on your toes. To see a sign, you have to be ready to notice something that you do not expect, something that may not be business as usual. Now, unfortunately, the Enlightenment hindered our ability to see signs. Back before the Enlightenment, people entertained the possibility that God works in unexpected ways. After the Enlightenment, miracles became the stuff of superstition. Now, in the 21st century, in our postmodern world, we can begin to look, and certainly those of us with faith can begin to look with eyes of faith and discover miracles in what may be considered routine. For example, pure logic says that there are not miracles of healing, that God does not break laws of nature, and that much of what is now considered routine medical procedure, like heart bypasses, would have seemed miraculous to people of our great-grandparents' generation. If Jesus reappeared today as an orthopedic surgeon and healed a crippled person, the eyes of the world would give credit probably to some great health insurance policy, but through the eyes of faith, we see a miracle. People who lived in the first century were no more naive or gullible than we today. But they saw and they heard God in all sorts of events. In a glorious sunset, in a rain that ended a drought, maybe even in a snowstorm that has the power to bring to a halt a city too busy being busy. Back in the first century, people knew the difference between the way the world usually worked and a miracle. And when the crowds in the gospel stories witnessed Jesus healing people. Some were speechless with wonder, and others said he was an agent of the devil. In other words, then as now, people saw what they expected to see. Some saw with the eyes of business as usual. Others saw with eyes of faith. Some, like the skeptical steward, looked at Jesus and saw someone who must have switched the label on the wine bottles. Others, like Jesus' disciples, saw in this sign a revealing of God's glory, and they believed all the more. Maybe we modern Christians ought to work on our eyesight. Often we do not expect a whole lot from our gospel of grace. What might happen if we started looking at the world through eyes of faith? Perhaps hidden in what the world considers mundane and routine, we might discover the hand of God. Perhaps if we tuned our ears to hear a new song, we might actually hear God at work, bringing into being a new world of justice and mercy. 55 years ago, Rosa Parks refused to move to the back of the bus. Viewed through the eyes of the world, it could have simply been a bump in the road of business as usual. But Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., a young pastor in Montgomery, recognized that God was at work, doing a new thing. And the movement for civil rights was born. What is happening today, now, in our world, in our nation, in our neighborhood? How may God be calling us to join in those miracles? A minister friend of mine in Tallahassee tells a story about John Wibler, who is the founder of the Vineyard Church. John had led a rather dissolute life, drugs, alcohol, the whole sad scene. But in a dramatic conversion, John had come to faith. He went to church for a Sunday service, and on the way out, he asked the pastor, "When do you do the healings, the exorcisms and stuff?" He had read about those things in the Bible, and he wanted to see them for himself. "Oh," said the pastor, we don't do that stuff anymore. We believe in them, but we don't do them." John replied in amazement, "I gave up drugs for this?" One of my tasks as an interim pastor is to remind congregations that they should not expect their new pastor to turn water into wine. And I doubt if any of you are expecting Baron Mullis to perform miracles. But my challenge to you today is this. When Baron arrives and asks you to tell him about Atlanta, about Morningside Church, and when Baron asks you, "Where are the healings, the exorcisms, the miracles?" Don't say, "We don't do that stuff anymore." Tell him that you believe God is still doing signs and wonders. God is doing marvelous things. Evidence is all around. If you dare to look with eyes of faith, you will discover where God is at work, accomplishing miracles, changing the old water of our sinful world into the new wine of justice and mercy and hope and peace. So keep your eyes open. Who knows what Jesus might do next? Might it be a miracle? Do you believe? Amen.